Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of CCL Products (India) Limited, hosted by Nirmal Bang Equities Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Navalgund from Nirmal Bang Equities. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashasri. Hello, everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome all the participants to CCL Products (India) Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. The management is represented by Mr. Challa Srishant, Managing Director, Mr. Praveen Jaipuriar, CEO, Mr. B. Mohan Krishna, Executive Director, Mr. V. Lakshmi Narayana, CFO, Ms. Sridevi Dasari, Company Secretary, and Mr. P. S. Rao, Consultant Company Secretary. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Praveen for his opening comments, and then we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good afternoon to everyone, and wishing all of you happy festivities. I will just go through in brief the result of the group, and then we will open the floor for questions and answers. The group has achieved a turnover of rupees 506.83 crores for the second quarter of 2022-23, as compared to rupees 336.83 crores for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The net profit stands at rupees 57.79 crores as against rupees 49.34 crores for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The EBITDA is at rupees 97.80 crores, and the profit before tax is rupees 73.11 crores. The group has achieved a turnover of rupees 1016.34 crores for the half year of 2022-23, as compared to rupees 663.06 crores for the corresponding period of the previous year. The net profit stands at rupees 110.53 crores as against rupees 93.19 crores for the corresponding period of the previous year. The EBITDA is rupees 186.56 crores, and the profit before tax is rupees 139.75 crores. I now open the floor for questions. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Manoj Gori from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead. Mr. Manoj Gori? We are not able to hear you, sir.
Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. My question here is, like, if you look at from a company's point of view, we are almost doubling our capacity over FY23 and FY24. Probably I would just like you to repeat, like, probably what's the outlook on the business that gives you confidence that doubling the capacity where we can actually scale up the utilization rates and how it would be panning out in the coming years. If you can throw some light over there, this would be very helpful.
Yeah. Hi, Manoj. You know, when we said doubling our capacity, it's not happening, you know, at one go. Next year, we are adding another 16,000 tons to our already existing capacity of 37,500. The subsequent year, which is in 2024, we'll add another 16,000 tons. It will be done in a, you know, although it's quite quick, but in a phased manner. As you can see for the last three, four quarters, we have been growing at a healthy volume growth of around 20%-25%, and that's the growth momentum we look to maintain. To maintain this growth momentum, we will require these capacities to be up and running in this phased manner. That's the reason we have been, you know, aggressively expanding our capacity. In the last call, as we had already mentioned to you, that for the last three or four quarters, we also have been outsourcing some of our quantities to make sure that we are able to fulfill our commitments. And that gives us a lot of confidence that, you know, we'll be able to start fulfilling our capacities from day one itself to a certain extent. Now, where this growth is coming from, as we have mentioned, you know, a couple of times, that this growth is actually quite a well-rounded growth and it is coming from all quarters. So if you see our growth coming from US markets or European markets, the domestic market, the Southeast Asian markets, it's been a quite a, you know, healthy growth profile that we have got, and it's coming from all quarters, largely because of the fact that as we are growing up in, you know, our capacities, the economies of scale and other factors are working for us, and it is helping us gain market share in the segments. And add to it, the domestic volumes are also growing at a healthy pace. So to make sure that we are able to fulfill all of these demands, we are looking to expand capacity.
Right. And sir, the visibility that you are able to get for the future volumes, probably for FY24 and FY25. So this is coming from, like, the what would be the clientele type, whether they are departmental store or whether they are, means, for example, your coffee is being used for ice creams and chocolates. Can you throw some light on the clientele type?
So it's more on the first two aspects, Manoj, or let's say first three aspects. We are getting good growths with our bulk customers. We are also adding a lot of departmental stores, and the domestic market is growing. So right now, no, we can't for sure say that it is going as, you know, as inputs to things like you mentioned ice cream and all that. In domestic market, we have a very clear visibility. We are supplying to the top guys who use coffee. So the top, you know, cold coffee brand or the top confectionery brand, these are all buyers of our coffee. So we are seeing a growth there. But as I was mentioning to you, it's coming from all sectors. So there is no one sector that I can pinpoint that it is only coming from there. So, and which is a good sign for the company because it's a well-rounded growth.
Right. And sir, any time that you can give for the Vietnam capacity coming into your operation?
So I think from next quarter, we'll start doing some trials, and we'll also expect to, you know, get some commercial volumes also. So next quarter is something that we are looking at.
So as per the guideline, like the timelines that you had mentioned in the past, so that would be in the fourth quarter, Vietnam and India new capacity would be somewhere around end of FY24. That's correct?
Not end of, let's say first quarter starting, financial year starting 24.
Okay. So 24, so that is the June, probably June 24.
Yeah, that time. But we'll, you know, there is a distance to go till that time. We will kind of keep updating you about the exact timings as we go along. Yeah.
Yes. So a couple of more questions if I can squeeze in. So first, it would be on the margin side. So obviously this quarter margins definitely look far better even on sequential basis. So how should we look at the margins? Because now you would be having a better visibility on the future performance as well. So probably should we expect like current level of margins is normalized margins? So probably there was some product mix, favorable product mix in the quarter. So can you throw some light over there?
Okay, so Manoj, there are 3-4 factors if you see, and if I were to just dissect the margins for you, yes, it looks better on a sequential basis. But as we have always maintained that our margin growth will be exactly in line with our volume growth, and that's what we have been achieving. Now, optically, what happens is that because we are getting a price advantage on top line, so the top line growth is, you know, we are getting approximately 25% to 30% additional top line because of the coffee bean prices. So as a percentage to top line, the margin looks a little squeezed. But if you look at a growth of margins, it will be exactly in line with the volume growth. And as we have been telling all of you that in the future, at least in the midterm, we are looking at these kind of volume growths to be maintained. And we will maintain the same margin profiles in the coming quarters as well. Now, as far as the product mix is concerned, I don't see a lot of changes happening here. The coffee prices are still high. There is a lot of demand that we are looking more in, you know, spray-dried than in freeze-dried. So fundamentally, you know, the margin profile looks to be, you know, or will be similar in the coming quarters. That is the guidance we can give from our side.
Right, sir. That was very helpful. We'll get back in the queue for further questions, sir.
Thank you.
All the best. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Jignesh Kamani from GMO. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Sheshad, the entire team. What is the volume growth for this quarter? And my question is, incrementally volume growth will be more coming from the spray dry. So EBITDA growth will lag the volume growth because of the lower profitability of the spray dry, or it may not be the case in future?
You know, Jignesh, as I told you, there are many factors that will play, and therefore, you know, pinpointing one factor to say that what will happen becomes a little difficult. But as you had asked, what is the volume growth? We are maintaining a volume growth of 20 to 25%, and we got that this quarter as well. And we're looking to kind of continue this momentum. There'll be a little bit of plus or a minus in subsequent quarters, but you know, at an overall level, at an annual level, we will maintain a volume growth of 20 to 25%. Now, as far as your question is concerned about you know, more growth in spray dry, that we'll have to see, because you know, now the bases have corrected. So last year itself we saw a lot of growth in spray dry first two quarters also. So we'll have to, because that base will come into effect, so we may not get that, and so we still get growth, but not you know, more than proportionate growth in spray dry. That may not be the case. So we don't look to kind of, you know, we will not expect that the margins will further you know, decline. We're looking to maintain that. And as I was telling in the in my answer to the earlier question of Manoj, that we are getting an all-around growth. We are getting growth in now in all types of coffee, small pack, bulk, departmental growth. So that's a good sign, because we will be able to maintain these kind of margins. So that's the guidance we'll give you.
And on the profitability-wise, both spray dry EBITDA per kg and the freeze dry EBITDA per kg has remained same, or we have seen improvement in the spray dry spread and the freeze dry day slightly?
No, it remains the same. As of now, it remains the same. Not much has changed.
And any color on the working capital cycle? Because we have seen earlier we were supporting our US partner, and you have seen some inventory pile up on account of increasing the receivable pile. How is the current scenario on the receivable side?
That will also remain same, I think. That won't change much, because we are supporting them, we are getting good growth, we are looking to, you know, capture more shares in the US market. So all that won't change, Matlab. I don't see much changing in the near and midterm.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kashyap Zaveri from MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. My question is in continuation of the previous question itself about the working capital. Now, in trailing 12 months, you know, we have already invested almost about 300 crores additional in working capital, because obviously the raw material prices have gone up, and consequently the inventory as well as the debtors number have also gone up. But you know, when we are on that you know, capex mode, any savings on that working capital side, even marginal, would help a lot in terms of you know, debt management. Though I mean, it's still you know, sort of quite manageable, but isn't you know, reducing the working capital cycle a possibility at all for us in next about, let's say, 6 to 12 months? I'm saying in terms of number of days, because the inventory itself is like about 100 days kind of number. You add to that about 80 days in terms of receivables. Anywhere it's possible to, you know, sort of reduce that number.
Ignesh, this is Lakshmanan here, CFO. So, as you rightly said, that because of the increase in the volume, value of the raw material, and the volume of business, value of the business that has gone up, increased. So due to that, the working capital requirements have gone up. But as you rightly said, that going forward, definitely we are going to focus on working capital management further to reduce the credit cycle, so that good amount of money is going to flow back into the system. So whereby that supports in two ways. One is further to meet the working capital, as well as to meet our capex program.
Mr. Zaveri?
But, you know, if you can quantify a number, because in past, you know, we have seen that at least inventory at some point of time, we used to work on, you know, about 50, 60 days, you know, kind of inventory. if I go back in 2018-19, or let's say 2017-18, and gradually this has now moved up to almost about, if I look at the previous quarter, almost about 110 days. In the March quarter or March year, this was almost about 130 days. That's something which is there in our hand, right? If not the support to the to the customers that we provide in terms of receivables, but at least inventory is something which is in our hand. So is there a chance that 110, 120 days of inventory days, any possibility of curtailing that number?
Yeah, this we are expecting by end of this year, we are likely to end up somewhere around 90 days. Definitely from 120 days, we are working out to be at 90 days level. And coming out of the receivables also, as I stated that, we are focusing more on to minimize the further reduction in the credit cycle of the receivables as well. So overall, if you look at it, inventory and receivables, there is a likely impact of almost around 30 to 45 days.
Sorry, I didn't catch the last sentence.
So if you look at it overall, the receivables part and the inventory part, inventory is reducing the holding level from 120 days to somewhere around 90 days. And the receivables part somewhere around to average level of 60 days. Definitely, we are going to have a major working capital positive impact.
Okay.
The funds is going to be good by end of this year.
By end of this year?
Yeah, during the current financial year, by end of the
current financial year. Okay. Sure, sir. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to add a couple of things over here. See, the reason for the inventory levels to be the way they are is also because of COVID and this shipping issues that we were facing for the last 2 years. We took a conscious call to ensure that we have enough stocks for a longer period of time because we can't afford to default on any contracts. But now, slowly, as the shipping issues have started getting resolved, we've started reducing our inventory time as well. This the transition will take some time because we had already confirmed several orders and all with our suppliers well in advance, keeping in mind our back-to-back contracts. So it will take some time for it to start coming down, but it will definitely come back down to a more normalized level going forward. And for the sale part, because our volumes have increased with certain customers who, like that would be US or some of the major clients that we're dealing with, they work only on a pure credit basis. They do not work on a CAD basis. And these parties are highly reliable and more of a long-term business for us. So when the volumes were increasing with these people, the inventory days also was increasing. But going forward, there's going to be more volume growth coming in from other customers as well, where we're working on a CAD basis. So that will also reduce this going forward.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Lokesh Maru from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I have just one question. So since last 2 years, our company has actually gained a lot from the, let's say, marketing sales point of view or the macro point of view and so on. And our guidance has basically seen a upward signs of adjustment. So just one question on this part, what in your opinion are the risks to the guidance that we have right now? That's all from my side.
To be frank, risk in every business will always be there, but fortunately for us, coffee is one product that has seen recession, pandemics, war situations, and we have survived with volume increases during all these periods. So going forward also, one thing what we can be assured of is coffee consumption as such is not going to come down irrespective of the coffee prices. whether there's a shortfall in output, whether the prices double. We've seen the prices literally doubling in the last 1 year. And our volumes have also increased in the same proportion. There's no lag over there at all. So no matter what, coffee consumption as such will keep continuing is what we feel. And most importantly, we are dealing with instant coffee. Instant coffee is actually the lowest end of the coffee pyramid. It is the cheapest variant that a person can buy because of the production process, it's efficient and everything. So if you go to a coffee shop, that's why the amount that they charge is going to be 10 times more than what it could cost to just buy instant coffee and consume it at home. So the segment that we are in, we are already at the bottom of the pyramid. So the only way forward is to go up. And to be frank, going forward with the new products that we are coming up with the innovations that we are coming up with the value additions that we are planning, we see that there is a higher potential of gaining more market share going forward rather than the other way around. That's one of the reasons why we are being a bit more aggressive with respect to our expansion plans also. The company, we've always been very conservative. Until and unless we are sure that we can sell, we don't want to take a risk and go in for expansion. Which is why even now, we are in a position where we are actually outsourcing and preparing the groundwork for our new capacities to come online.
Thank you, sir, for that response. One thing, one thing you mentioned was product as well, right? So which is also giving you that confidence. So just curious if you can elaborate on the product side of the innovation side of things, which we would have undertaken lately.
So product innovation is something that we keep doing constantly. We used to have single plain vanilla type products with either Arabica or Robusta making a finished product and supplying to customers. But over the years, we've developed our capabilities to such an extent that we can offer the entire range of potential products, like even specialty products like, say, espresso coffees or in instant format, cold brews, functional coffees, flavored coffees, you name it. So anything pertaining to soluble coffee, we can do it at our end. So this is something that doesn't happen overnight. There's no manufacturer who can just overnight get this kind of a capability. We've actually bought equipment from almost 30 different countries. We've integrated this over the last 10 to 15 years, and we've commercialized everything. And most of our growth is also in innovation is customer-led. You know, customers come up with a project and they say, we want you to be our partner in developing something like this. Can you do this? So that's when we start investing in R&D and we create these products and then we commercialize it. And once we commercialize a product in one territory, we can basically offer the same product across the world. Because that's what we've been doing over the years.
Got that. Thanks a lot, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Richard D'Souza from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Congratulations on a decent set of numbers. I just had some question and sorry to hop back on the inventories. But over past couple of months, we have seen the green bean prices having fallen quite a bit. I think on YOY basis, they are lower than what they were last year. So, and we have substantial inventories in our system. So, do we envisage any risk out of that?
Richard, I think you are already aware of our model. So, we haven't changed anything. So, whatever inventory we have is 100% against a back-to-back contract that we already have in place. Normally the customers that we deal with are large guys who, they won't back out on a contract just because the prices are fluctuated a little bit here or there.
Okay.
So we don't see any risk over there. We've been working with almost all these customers between 10 to 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can afford to take the risk of not executing a contract.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just worried because, you know, times are a little difficult and it's possible that some of the smaller players or the smaller customers may renege on some of their contracts if they can get cheaper coffee elsewhere or...
No. Till date, we've never faced a problem like that. So, customers like that, if it's a new customer or a smaller customer, we usually take advance payment from them.
Okay.
And if we take, let it be a 20%, 30% advance, and then... when we supply the product, unless we receive full payment, sometimes we don't even ship the product. Depends on the payment terms if it's a new party. So we ensure that we cover our risks 100%. And if there is any potential we feel that the customer is not going to lift the coffee, though it hasn't happened, because we have that advance with us, as per the contract terms, we don't have to return that advance to the customer.
Okay.
So that's also one of the reasons why nobody wants to default.
Okay. That's a good thing to hear. Yeah. The second thing is, you know, while your volume growth has been quite good and we have witnessed companies like JD and Nestle also getting decent volume growth. So just wanted to understand the inventory levels at your end customers. Is it something that you monitor? I mean, once you sell to your distributor in US and he further sells to the retail chains or the end customers, the bulk consumers, do you monitor that and is that giving you some signs of weakness? Or?
So we monitor only for certain specific customers. As in, like if the person is our distributor, then definitely we will end up monitoring. If it is for any other customer like a JD and all, we cannot monitor. They will not give us that data for us to monitor as well. And they buy from multiple other parties also. And usually most of these companies, they give us their orders, confirmed orders with prices more than 1 year in advance. So our visibility is typically around 12 to 15 months.
Okay.
Yeah, with the big guys at least.
Okay, sir. Yeah. And generally, if you look at the consumption trends, I mean, how is out-of-home consumption versus in-home consumption? I mean, is the in-home consumption still maintaining that kind of delta which is there over the growth in out-of-home consumption?
In fact, it's a difficult question to answer because the out-of-home consumption also, there is a lot of instant coffee out-of-home consumption that takes place. So let it be offices, institutions, people don't really go for only bean-to-cup machines or beans. Offices obviously will find it more economical to use instant coffee. So whether the individual is consuming that coffee in their house or in the office, the overall consumption of instant coffee has been largely stable and growing.
Okay. That's good to hear. And we have been hearing that private label has been witnessing a comeback or quite a bit of growth in both US and Europe. So have you benefited from that?
So we do keep getting inquiries for private label and all, but most of these new players and all who are coming up with their brands, their volumes are extremely small. The actual growth is coming from the, again, supermarkets, and these are the companies that have their own private label. They've been there in the market for a long time. And people who are able to source efficiently, obviously volumes for them have been increasing. Especially during this, people who have projected and predicted price increases and they've confirmed orders in a timely manner, they're able to sell more efficiently than those who have not projected well in advance.
Okay. Just couple of questions more, and one of this is on the logistic cost. We have seen the container freight indexes having quite a bit of a decline in past few quarters, past couple of quarters at least, and even packaging cost have would have come down because the plastic prices have come down and other things. So have you benefited from that, or do you think another couple of quarters down the line we will see impact on our bottom line because of this cost going down?
So to be frank, ours has always been a cost plus model. So even when the prices increased, we passed it on. So when the prices reduce also, we pass it on.
Okay.
So that is not really a profit center for us. We'd rather be very transparent with our customers to build that confidence.
Okay. But some of the logistic cost we used to bear for certain customers, isn't it?
If it's a CIF contract, then we end up bearing that cost. So there are certain contracts. It gets averaged out eventually. If you've done a CIF contract, depending on when we have done it, at some point in time, maybe 50% of the contract will be more expensive and 50% will be cheaper. So it'll average out eventually.
Okay. One last one, that's on the domestic market. So what kind of growth have you witnessed in domestic market?
I think Praveen can answer this.
So, you know, we are continuing to grow at around between 30 to 40%. This quarter also we got that kind of a growth. And we are looking to maintain this momentum at least for some periods to come. Yes, there will be little pluses and minuses, but in an overall level, at an average level, that's the kind of, you know, momentum we are looking to maintain. This quarter, as we had told last time, that we are now expanding our network, at least selectively in the other zones like North, East and West, which are not as big as South, but it's a growing market and it's a market we needed to cover. And that's what we have begun. We already set up distribution network and we are looking to capture that kind of a, you know, those markets are a little more seasonal also in nature, unlike South, which is year-round consumption. So we're looking to kind of capture this winter, at least in the select towns, the larger towns, the more urban towns, and see how things goes there.
Okay. And any update on the plant protein, Praveen?
Yeah, so, you know, basically this quarter we are expanding to two more markets, Chennai and Mumbai. Chennai, already we started billing there. Initially, the response is, you know, it's a mixed kind of a response. There is a certain section of people who are very excited about this. There's a certain section of people who are still concerned about the pricing and things like that. So, yeah, it will be an evolution. We are looking to partner with a lot of these associations that have got formed up, like the Plant-Based Food Association of India and things like that, and looking to promote this whole endeavor. So yes, things are looking exciting at this moment. Let us see how they shape up when we go forward.
Okay. And any other agencies we are developing or any other new products for the domestic market or some new segment are we planning to get in?
No, right now not, because our plate is full with many things. Coffee itself, we have to do a lot of activity. We have to expand, make sure that we create enough awareness in the non-south zone as well. So that itself will be a mammoth task. And Greenbird is something that we are looking to keep investing on and see how things goes. So right now, nothing on the plate right now. If at all something comes up, we'll surely inform you guys.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Praveen. I'll come back later with the question.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Akhil Parekh from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the team for continuing the growth momentum. My question is again on the domestic part of the business. Do we maintain the guidance of 200 crore plus top line this year in FY23?
Yeah, so we will get a top line of 200 crores and plus, out of which around 65-70% will be branded.
70%, I mean that, yeah. 70% will be branded and the 30%.
Yes, absolutely. But I was saying the same thing. Absolutely.
Hello?
Yeah, absolutely. Right, you're right. 70% will be branded business.
Okay. Can you please quantify in Q2 how much we did in domestic?
So, let's say first half we crossed a milestone of 100 crores, almost 110 crores, and the growth has been 37%. Q1 was a little higher growth. Q2 is a little lower growth because of the bases, because last year Q1 was, COVID, so the bases were muted. But if you see as a growth trend, as a momentum trend, we are maintaining that kind of momentum every quarter.
Sure, but I think absolute number-wise, it looks better Q-on-Q basis, because I remember Q1 was 50-odd crore, I believe.
Q1 was, 50-odd crores, So it is almost 60 now, and now it will become even better because we are approaching to season and we're trying to see if we could be kind of, get into other zones as well. So let us see, because those will be challenging in terms of creating awareness and distribution, because the whole profile of the category is very different in other zones than what it is in South zone. But yes, that's something which was there on our radar and we wanted to do that, and we'll update you on the next quarter or let's say after the end of the year, how did the venture go about.
Yeah, if you can quantify in terms of the retail touch points, how we have grown over the last 12 months maybe?
Yeah, so retail touch points, see, now we are directly servicing to almost 1,20,000 outlets, out of which now 80%, which almost 1 lakh outlet is still in South. We have added around 20,000-25,000 outlets in the rest of the zones, North, East and West. And we are looking to end up at a close to 1,35,000 to 1,40,000 outlets, which will be directly servicing.
Got it. And second question is on the US and small packs. How much is the contribution coming from US in terms of volume and sales, and is on similar on the small packs as well?
So US and I'll just let's talk about the small pack. So small pack is around 20% of our portfolio. Yeah. And we did see a little decline in the COVID times because a lot of our small pack guys were not doing well because of COVID, and a lot of our small pack goes to Africa. So that market got a lot impacted because of pricing as well. So both COVID and pricing took a little bit of a toll. We are looking to build that back, and as we go along, we'll be keep building that portfolio as well. US market is also approximately 15 to 20% of our portfolio, and is growing at a similar pace as some of the other port, because that's the first thing I told. Most of our regions and most of our segments have been growing like equally. So there is not one thing which is growing at a higher speed than the other. So they're also growing at a similar pace as the as our group growth that is happening.
Sure. And this percentage you told is on the volumes, right? Not on the sales.
Yeah. These are all volume percentages that I am talking about.
Got it. But that's all from my side, and best luck for coming quarters.
Thank you so much, Akhil.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Vidit Shah from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my question. My first question was, once we add this 32,000 tons of capacity across India and Vietnam and take this up to roughly 70,000 tons, how much of the overall instant coffee market would we be then manufacturing? Just want to understand how much market will we have, and then how could growth be post this expansion?
So I think, if you look at the current scenario, we are at around 6 to 8% of the total instant coffee market share. Yeah. So if you add another 20,000, probably 6 to 8 will go to 10 to 12. So that's where it will be. And once we have added this capacity, then we look where do we want to, if at all we want to add, which geography, which region, how the growths are, because that it will take us around 2 to 3 years to, or let's say, 2 to 3 years minimum to go to around 80-85% utilization. So at that point of time, we will see how do we want to kind of get future growth strong. So the next 3 to 4 years, because 1 to 2 years will take us to build the capacity, another 2-3 years to fill it. So next 4 to 5 years, we have got our tasks really edged out, and we'll go about making sure that we fill up as fast as we can.
Got it. And it'll take 2 to 3 years across both Vietnam and India, right, to get to
India. After the India capacity. Yeah, sorry?
I was asking, will India and Vietnam both take the same time, or will Vietnam get to, you know, 80-85% faster given better visibility from you?
Vietnam will start earlier. So next quarter, the Vietnam thing will start, and therefore we'll have a better visibility and a better thing for that. India capacity is still coming next year, approximately April-June quarter types, or maybe July-September. So we'll see how it goes. So there we'll start getting visibility once we come closer to that date. So of course Vietnam will be a little much faster than the Indian capacity.
So Vietnam has like a 2-quarter head start. I mean that understanding is correct.
4 to 6 quarters head start, because Vietnam will start next quarter itself. Jan, Feb, March quarter.
So Vietnam starts June to July 24.
So almost 6-7 quarters. Yeah, 6-7 quarters. Not 23, okay. 24. That's why you said that the Vietnam will come up much faster.
Okay, understood. Also, just in terms of some data points, my line was a little patchy when you spoke about volume growth. So what would volume growth be for the current quarter?
20-25%.
Okay, and would you be able to share the utilizations of freeze and spray dried in India?
So we are all fully utilized. We can't go and even a ton higher than what we are doing right now.
And would it be possible to get how much you all are outsourcing in terms of volumes?
Approximately 5%, let's say, of our quantity, which is close to maybe... Till now, first half, we would have outsourced approximately 1,500 to 2,000 tons.
Okay. Got it. Thanks. I think all my questions are answered. Best of luck for the coming.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Himanshu Nayyar from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, team. Thanks for taking my question. Firstly, on the domestic business, I know we've been growing really well. Our base was also quite low, but as we become a reasonably large player, the coffee industry itself is not growing at such a pace. So in the medium term, do you think, reaching, a 500 crore sort of a turnover, we are confident of doing that in the next 3 years? If we continue at this rate, we should... reach almost 500 crores turnover in the next 3 years, right?
Yeah, Himanshu. So we are looking to do that. As you rightly said, the coffee category may not be growing at such a fast pace, but we are very, we are very small. So as I have told earlier also, in the instant coffee segment and in the roast and ground, which is the filter coffee segment, we'll look to aggressively gain shares. So that will be our main, objective there. And we are looking to build certain categories like the premixes and see how things goes. But if we are able to maintain the current growth momentum, there is quite a possibility that we will reach 500 crores a year here or a year there. But that's something we are also targeting.
And when does, in our view, this business becomes EBITDA or PAT positive?
See, at an MIS level, this business is actually, positive only, although marginally, but positive only. But as we keep growing, the whole question will come, do we want to keep investing more onto this business, or you want to start milking the business? I don't think so. Next 2-3 years, we'll be, wanting to milk the business. We'll keep on investing. We'll keep on increasing the distribution setup. And therefore, because the growth momentum, if this growth momentum has to be maintained, you need to keep investing on both fronts, not only creating distribution, but also to create awareness and drive preference for your brand. So all these will require that whatever we earn, we plow back into the business. So that's been our strategy. We'll keep taking a stock of the situation as we go along, how things are moving and how things are, shaping up. But right now I can say that probably once you cross 350-400 crores, then you start making, money as well.
Understood. Second, just a clarification. There was some confusion on the timeline that you mentioned. So Vietnam, you're saying that it gets commissioned next quarter, which is the third quarter of FY23. And India, you were saying first quarter FY24 or FY25?
24-25, first quarter.
Okay, so that means the June quarter of 2024.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is coming next quarter. Yeah, the fourth quarter of this financial year.
Understood. Thanks for clarifying that. So basically, I mean, after this 2 years of significant capex that we do, in addition to the working capital requirements, what would be the peak debt level? And do you think we'll start bringing that down now only after FY25?
Yeah. If you look at it, the increased volume of business, that comes for the working capital requirement as well. And as you rightly said, that we are the expansion that we have scheduled in India calls for the additional long-term debt to be in place. From the financial year 25-26 onwards, wherein the repayments of the new debt also starts, then it will keep coming down overall debt.
Okay. So any number that we can look at in terms of peak debt levels?
Peak debt level by March 24, it is somewhere around 350 crores of the long-term debt, and around 450 crores is going to be the working capital, 450 to 500.
Understood. Thank you. And final question is just on the...
I request you to come back in the queue, sir.
Sure, no problem. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer all queries, kindly restrict your questions to two at a time. We have our next question from the line of Dhiral from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Has competitive intensity in our instant coffee business has reduced substantially? Because as I know that instant coffee market per se 50% surplus in terms of capacity.
Not able, Hiranjan, you are not able to hear me properly.
Am I audible?
Yeah, you are, but your voice is a little, it's cracking and big.
So my question is, sir, is competitive intensity in instant coffee market worldwide is reduced? Because I believe, this market is 50% surplus in terms of capacity.
Right. So, actually when you say 50% surplus, competitive intensity is increased, in fact. So there is more competitive intensity, people have excess capacity.
So we are guiding at 20-25% kind of a volume growth. If I look at pre-pandemic, our growth rate historically was around maybe, high single digits to maybe 10-11% max. But now we are, guiding almost doubling of that, volume growth.
Yeah. So, it's our efforts which have got, which have increased, our ability to cater to different markets, to different products, as Krishant was mentioning during his answer, that we have invested in our machinery and in our equipment in such a manner that our ability to cater to the various demands in the market is, competitively much better than the others. So it's our efforts which is helping us grow much higher than the category, rather than there is a reduction in competitiveness. So when we say that there is a reduction in competitive intensity, means other people are not, being competitive in terms of their pricing or their marketing efforts. But that's not the case. It's 3-4 factors that is working for us because of our marketing efforts, because of our product innovation, because of the fact that even prices-wise, we are very competitive. Because of the scale that we have built over a period of time. So all these factors are helping us gain market share in the global market.
Just to add to that also, we have customers from across the world whom we have developed over the years also. People whom we have created unique products which they can buy only from us. And for them, volumes will not happen overnight. It is adding any new customer also. It's almost like a 4-5 year old process. So whatever we have been doing over the last 5 to 10 years, we are seeing the fruits of that seeding now. And whatever we are doing now is again not for now, but we'll start seeing the results maybe 10 years down the line.
Okay. Got your point, sir. And sir, lastly, so how Europe and US contribute in terms of the overall volume? what kind of growth we have seen, you know, as compared to India?
Europe itself, so we have Russia itself, which contributes around 20%, and rest of Europe will be another maybe 10% or so. And going forward, we are actually seeing an increase in demand over there because of the recent crisis that has come about. The fuel crisis and all that, so they're not able to produce locally. And one of the things that we're looking at is outsourcing or buying the product from other companies. So that's where we are coming in.
And sir, how much US is contributing?
Yes, I request you to come back in the queue. Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. A couple of questions. I will try to restrict it at two only. Sir, first is on the previous question extension only. The benefit which you are just trying to mention in terms of the Europe, which is witnessing a high energy crisis, high cost energy, being the coffee being processing being a very power intensive product process. So how much you see the demand is shifting to India and how much you have seen the benefit so far now, and how do you see that the going forward Europe will be dependent more on India and how much market share we can gain further? Right now you mentioned is roughly ex Russia is roughly 10% coming from the rest of Europe. How do you see that this market going forward?
To be frank, it is actually split not only between India, it's between India, Vietnam, Brazil, Mexico. It's all these countries which are taking market share in different proportions. So whatever was being manufactured within Europe, whenever it's becoming so expensive or if there is no fuel for them to run the factory, they're automatically outsourcing as much as possible. So it's not just one particular territory that they're focusing on. Naturally, India and even Vietnam is actually a first preference for most customers because of multiple reasons, as in supply issues and all that, is that availability of raw material in, like you don't have these currency fluctuations in like what you have in Brazil. So Vietnam and India both have been very stable with respect to such things. So naturally, customers would factor in all these things when they're placing an order. So we are getting more volumes because of that, but I wouldn't say we are the only ones getting that volume. There are other countries that are benefiting as well.
Okay, and sir, how in terms of the currency depreciation impact vis-a-vis mainly Euro is impacting our margins, and how we have, how are we having a complete hedge that is restricting the benefit of the currency depreciation there? How currency is impacting us, and also its impact on the working capital? Though you mentioned that you don't see any major faults from the euro, default from the euro, but still, do you see that the receivables are under risk in a European market?
Thanks to the companies that we are working with, there's not much of a risk for us. And we do take forward cover also because currencies is something that can, you know, fluctuate either way. And that is frankly not our core business. So we would rather have clarity on what is the profit that we are making on a per kg basis rather than speculate on currency. To a very large extent, we end up doing forward covers accordingly.
Thank you, sir. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Devanshu Sampath from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just two questions. A few quarters ago, we had spoken about, you know, exporting Continental brand abroad. So any target, any plans, you can give us an update on that, or what is the expectation over the next 2-3 years?
Yeah, so we had mentioned this. So we are actually, you know, exporting our own brand requires a lot of, you know, background work in terms of doing your brand registrations, making sure all your statutories are in line. So we're working on that, and hopefully in a couple of quarters, we should see the brand getting launched in a couple of countries, and that's really a start. And depending on how things goes, we'll start expanding. We already had started, you know, selling in the Swiss market and the French market through an online channel, Amazon channel. So that we have placed the product. We are still yet to, you know, start a little bit of awareness building there, and post that, we'll see how the brand is doing. But if you were to go to Switzerland and, you know, search for our products, you'll find it on Amazon.
Well, so maybe next year will be a year that we can see more.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Next year, definitely we'll start seeing some of these fructifying, and then be launching in some of these geographies.
Okay. Then second question, can you give a sense of, out of our 1,100 crore gross block, how much of the investment has been made towards packing unit? What's the utilization level currently, and when do we see this going up, you know, given our order booking and deliveries that we have planned for the next one, 2 years?
So, around 1,100 crores, around 150 crores is investment that we made in the new packing facility, and which is in operation around 30%-40% as of now, and we are trying to gear up for better utilization going forward.
This 30%-40% includes what we're doing for the domestic business as well, right?
No, so, you know, if domestic business and everything is included, it's more than 50%, yeah, because the domestic volumes are also increasing. So we will continue to, you know, next year, considering that the domestic business will also grow and international business, we are looking to gain back all the small packs. So hopefully we'll go closer to 70%-80% utilization, and then we'll see how do we want to further expand. Because as we have already said, the further expansion will be only addition of machinery and not anything else, because the infrastructure is already there. So those investments won't be much, they'll be very little compared to the overall investment when it comes to expansion further from that 12,000 metric tons.
Right, got it. So this EBITDA of 108-110 that we're working on a per kg basis, so you see this number moving to 115-120, or say over the next 1-2 years as a result of this and other?
No, we're not going to comment on that, because as I was telling you, there are a lot of factors that are playing. Even the small pack that we are going to or looking to increase our business is largely on the spray dried side, so where the margins won't be so expansive. So we will kind of maintain this for the next, you know, 1 or 2 years, and then we'll see how things are moving forward. So that we are not looking to aggressively, you know, increase from here on.
Got it. Okay, thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Kashyap Javeri from Emkay Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, a question again on Continental Coffee Private Limited, which is our domestic business. In FY 2022, we had a sharp jump in the top line, but if I look at our gross profit, you know, barely grew. And within that company, our employee costs also, you know, almost doubled, which accounts for almost 50% of the employee cost increase at the group level. So, you know, what kind of investments have we done in terms of employee there? And when I look at gross profit versus top line growth, you know, there is a big disparity. So within that 170-175 crores of top line, what was the volume growth in FY 2022? And again, this year, when you look at first half, how much has been the volume growth?
So, you know, as far as, first of all, the question about employee costs being reasonably higher, that is because if you see this whole setup is largely dependent on the distribution that we create, which is very employee heavy, unlike the B2B setup, which is not so employee heavy. So here, to reach 1 lakh, 1 lakh 15,000 outlets, you have to keep these kind of, you know, you have to employ these legs and feet on the ground who will distribute your product. So therefore, this is the sort of, you know, this explains the high employee cost for the subsidiary. Second question you asked, what is the volume growth? Here, you know, very different from B2B business. Here, the whole pricing is based on the MRP model, which will be indexed to the leader and our ability to charge or the price elasticity that we can get in the market. So keeping that in mind, the top line, the volume and the value growths are not very different. So every year we probably end up taking price hikes. So therefore there will be a little 5 to 10% of difference. So the volume growth, if the value growth is coming to, let's say, 30 to 40%, the volume growth will be 20 to 30%.
And this year, last year I understand that, the prices probably didn't move as much as the raw material prices went up, but have you gotten any, increases in, the MRP this year to, improve the gross margins there?
So right now the prices still continue to be very high, especially in the Indian market. The prices haven't come down. So we are not getting any, margin advantage because of the coffee prices coming down.
Mm-hmm.
But the good part about here is that, once, because it's a consumer business, once you increase the MRP and if the prices do come down, what will happen is that you start getting a lot of margins, because unlike a B2B setup, you need not decrease the price and MRP. Yeah. So that we will be able to comment only after, only in the next quarter when the new crop comes in, and we'll see how the price trends are moving for the Indian market.
Okay. Yeah, that answers my question. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Praveen Jaipuriar for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you once again for arranging this call, Abhishek. And thank you all for joining the call. Once again, wishing you all very happy festivities and all the best for the new year. And we look forward to meet you again in January. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.